Welcome to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair, celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
And indeed, good morning, good Saturday. Holy smokes, we're off and running. 2 hours today, a guest about wet and all sorts of things happening in the world. As you can imagine, so many things happening here. Oh, well, what can we say? A nice day, at least a comfortable day today. A little bit warmish on the humidity part, but other than that, it's a great day in the neighborhood. 314-436-7900. Call us. Get together here on the Helitech Home Improvement Show. Scott Mosby here. 314-436-7900. Toll free anywhere on the globe, wherever you are, if you can get the internet or a phone line. 800-925-1120. 800-925-1120. Today's topic is you. Your home, your health, your comfort, all those things that tie together. I will remind you of a few things as we go through the show. One being the ultraviolet light kind of bacteria killer that goes on your furnace. Something that I'm going to endorse a bit now that we have this other Delta variant of the COVID pandemic that's upon us. So whether you're vaccinated or not, maybe this is the time to go after those flu-like viruses and the other viruses. So I'll tell you about that as we get through a little bit. Also, we have a seminar coming up here, and this is July 21st. That's coming up next week, and that's an 11:30 webinar. Sign up, callmosby.com, C-A-L-L-M-O-S-B-Y. Or for those of you that are accurate at spelling and don't have fat fingers like I do, mosbybuildingarts.com. Pretty clever. Yeah, we know some stuff on how to name a website, don't we? MosbyBuildingArts.com. Well, you know, no rest for the weary. What can I say? 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. I urge you on a day like today, especially with the storms we've had recently, if you haven't already, please take a walkabout around your house, a little stroll around your home, your property, downspouts, power lines, tell of anything that you think, and this is the old business topic in terms of inspect what you expect. If you think you're getting electricity, go take a look at the electric lines and see how they enter your house. They may be underground, they may be overhead, combination thereof, perhaps telephone, cable, all those things. Take a look at things. We have critters that like to gnaw on cables, both up on the power poles and down near the base around the soil as well. So squirrels are active, all the other critters as well. So kind of get out and look at those things around the services that come to your home. Remember, gas comes into your house, water comes into your house, all those things. Just kind of be aware. Look at where that water, you know, stop is. It is. It's a shutoff buried in the ground, but it's a little round cast iron plate about 4 or 5 inches in diameter. Just be aware of where that is in your yard. If you mow your own yard, sometimes you discover that. Also, things like the sewer clean out somewhere between your home and your house generally is a clean out or a pipe that comes straight up in the air, usually something that you have to miss with the lawnmower as you're cutting the grass. But just be aware, it's usually a cast or not a cast iron but a vitreous china, so a clay pipe, kind of a adobe looking thing, terracotta finish, if you will, that sticks up. Just be aware of where that is. And if you don't have one of those, when you go to sell your house, that will be one of the things that will be added on and required to identify and clean out. MSD comes around various times, and you'll find funny colored flags on it and spray paint around any kind of sewer. So they're just kind of inspecting what they expect. You know, they don't necessarily want to see motor oil, gasoline, weed, all those nasties going down into the stuff that, you know, poisons our water source. Because whether it's a sewer or right out of the river, they're responsible for treating all of that stuff, you know. So again, just they will inspect, and they have, and that's the source of some of those funky looking little flags and colors and such. For you walking around the house, open all your doors, make sure they operate freely. Check the locks, make sure the locks latch and securely open and close. Weather stripping also something to look at. Screens for this time of year, because it's really nice when those cool evenings come down, open up the windows and doors and, you know, vent out. But we don't necessarily want to invite all the bugs in, just the cooler temperatures. Look at the roof, the gutters, downspouts, things like that. Anything around the house, and I'm not, you know, this takes longer to tell you about it than it does to just kind of walk around and look, just look up at the roof. If you think there shouldn't be stuff on the roof, take a peek. Are there sticks? Are there leaves? Are there little sprigs growing out of your gutters? Not a good sign. 314-436-7900, 436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. May we live in interesting times, weather times indeed. Aware of some of the international flooding in Germany and Belgium, all of that stuff that's happening. You know, you and I know of all of this stuff because we live in Floodville. We're around the midst of five rivers here in the Midwestern United States, right in the center of the country. So we know water. We're used to seeing floods. And we're kind of learning that the more we try to moderate and manipulate in terms of floods, that, you know, when the Mac Daddy of floods shows up for whatever cause, purpose, or reason, man, when you take fewer acres and try and combine it, so, you know, we build flood control and things that allow us to navigate the river. So tons and tons and tons of benefits on an everyday basis. But boy, when Mother Nature comes to even the scales, you know, there's hell to pay, because the flood really gets more violent, vicious, and abrupt because of the fewer acres that we're allowing Mother Nature to flood over. So, you know, yes, I do. You know, this is weather changing patterns for all the reasons you may or may not believe. But the issue is, we got away with this for a long time. So we're really controlling the floodwaters and all. But golly, when they flood, they really flood, because Mother Nature really wanted all those millions of acres to flood that water all over. So anyway, just keep in mind, some of these things are normal occurrences. They're nasty as they are. And, you know, many of these are man-made exacerbations, meaning we're making the consequences even bigger. So that's an awareness I share as well as some of the, you know, weather patterns, the hot and the cold, the weather, the colder, and all. May we live in interesting times. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. It's had the same name. You know, they called me that when I was born, and now some years later, golly, I still have the same handle. But that's how I get here on KMOX. I know a lot about a little. Not really. That's only in one or two areas, for example, structures and carpentry, things directly related to my history. But the reason I'm on KMOX is I know a little about a lot. So I'm a generalist. Concept guy. I have to depend on the licensed architects, the certified aging in place, the specific designers and skills, the licensed architects, the licensed electricians, licensed plumbers, all that which we have at my day job, Mosby Building Arts, because we are what the business world calls a vertically integrated business, which means that for us, you know, my sophomoric inversion of that is, for everything that didn't work in a trade or business practice, we just went into that business because we have good practices. We work very hard at continuous improvement. The ball hits the ground, and when, okay, we drop the ball. What happened? Why? How do we avoid it in the future? So we're human. Issues happen, and now we're in the midst of a pandemic where who knows where that stuff's coming from, if the supplies even reach us at all. So we've redefined lean time, lag time, all those things on supplies and such around the world. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. No particular topic today. It's all about you. Bring it on. Bring it here. Bring it to KMOX. I think we're going to have a guest here in the second part of this hour. So stay tuned. Lots of things to talk about. Golly, if you don't think it's wet yet, just wait. We're in the Midwest. We're where the rivers all come together. We know wet. We hang water in the air in humidity. I'll be back for more after this on KMOX. Scott Mosby at your service, 50,000 watts of at your service, Camo X.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, back together. We are at the top of 2 hours. 2 hours today, lots of things happening. And after all the rain that's happening, I pressed one of our guests to come in. A little bit of surprise on that. But with the rain we've had, I urge you to stay tuned here on KMOX. First up, let's go right to our phone lines and see what's happening with my friend Regina. Hey, Regina, Scott Mosby here. Good morning, KMOX. How can I help?
Hi, Scott. Thank you for taking my call. I really love your show. I'm calling from South Carolina, and I learned about your show from a podcast that you have on Stitcher. But I really love your information. I'm calling today about last year we had in mid-South Carolina, we had problems with sewer flies, gnats. So this year it's not so bad, but I have a relative in Atlanta. He's really having a problem. He's put baking soda and vinegar down the drains, followed by the hot water, and he's still having a problem this year. Is there any type of remedy or anything that you can think of? The information that you were giving before you just cut into the commercials was good. Do you think maybe it's that sewage vent, maybe a sewage vent outside his home that they're congregating and then finding their way into his house?
Both. This time of year, as wet as it's been coast to coast, you know, at least in the rating sections of the country, it could be outdoors. I assure you it's outdoors as well. But the indoor is the part that we can address. Outside, kind of tough to handle. But indoors, just make sure, Regina, that all of the floor drains, that's the drain on a floor, that's a P-trap on a lavatory sink, a tub, a shower, any drain. What is a P-trap is there's a curved pipe in the shape of a P, sometimes in an S, and it traps a charge or a body of water that keeps the sewer gas and the sewer flies that can live in that sewer on the sewer side. And then inside the home, that water charge keeps everything away. Now, sometimes those critters can, you know, crawl, fly, you know, get inadvertently wrapped up and they wind up to the surface inside the house. A little bit of vegetable oil, number one, for very low humidity places. So I'm talking about top of the mountains up in Colorado, out in the Sonoran Desert, all those areas with really low humidity. Take a little bit of vegetable oil and just put a capful of vegetable oil. After you put the water in, make sure there's plenty of water in those floor drains, the showers, the tub drains, stuff like that. And then put a cap or two of just normal, inexpensive vegetable oil. That puts a film of oil on top. And if you remember in some of the old mosquito control things back in the years, that will kill the larva. But it also gets gooey. So if you get a little sewer fly that's coming out, it just really can't make it out of that area. But when you take a shower, the water just passes right past that little film of vegetable oil. I will, full disclosure, some states don't advocate this. Some states do. You know, I think Missouri doesn't allow it. Illinois will allow you to put a couple of capfuls of vegetable oil. And some of the reason for saying, no, we don't want to do that is because when the hair goes down there and any fiber or whatever from, you know, say cleaning celery, those fibers get gooped up with the oil, then more connects, and so it turns into a glob in a block. So that's why some states say, yeah, nah, it's not a good idea. But for the sewer flies like that, I don't have any trouble. And I routinely meaning every 6 months or a year, I'll put a capful or two of vegetable oil down showers that we don't use much, or a tub or a sink that doesn't get a lot of use, so it doesn't evaporate out.
Okay. So being that he's over here on the southeast, I think we're a little more humid than Colorado and some of the other states that you mentioned. Yeah. Do you think that would still help with the vegetable oil?
Yeah, it does, because sometimes only a little bit of evaporation can cause that. And even if it's not an evaporation issue, it's a bug control method. So when I was a kid, my dad used to say, well, we need, you know, any standing water, pool of water, you know, when the spring came around for mosquito larvae, whatever, he used to float some oil on the top of it, which kills the mosquito larvae. So it's the same kind of thing. We don't want to dump motor oil down our bodies of water anymore. We learned that lesson the hard way. So, but, you know, a little bit of clean veggie oil in a floor drain or a sink or something like that. Now, on the outside sewer vent, that thing out in the yard, Regina, don't dump anything into that. There is no standing charge of water. That's just an air pipe coming up on the top of a drainage pipe under the ground. There's no benefit to putting oil in there.
Okay. So, again, bear with me. So, run the hot water down the sink and then dump the oil, cap full of vegetable oil.
Yeah. Simple as that. I mean, that's and if you really want to get to it out on the sewer clean out, you can take a little bit of mosquito screening and underneath that perforated vent lid, that cap that lets the air pass out in the yard, you just cut a little piece of, maybe a copper screen or whatever, something that will rigidly span that. Drop it in there and then put the metal piece on top or the plastic cover on top. That keeps the bugs down in the sewer pipes a little better than just having them come through those, you know, sometimes dime and, you know, sometimes pencil eraser size holes.
Okay. All right. Well, again, I love your show and I'll continue to listen, especially to your past podcasts. I just get a wealth of information from your show. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Regina from South Carolina. Take care.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right, there we go. Kind of the miracle of modern radio. My gosh, signal goes and then podcasts. One way to pick this up for Regina and others is audacy.com. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and it's a podcast to put it on your smartphone. Take us anywhere you want to go. The cool part about this is you can listen to a ton of different radio stations, podcasts. It is a wealth of information. So think of it, in my world, think of it as a library on your smartphone in audio form. How about that? 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Let me see if I can wake up my guests, see what's cooking here with Kevin. Hey, Kevin Estes of Helitech. Good morning, my friend. Are you there?
I'm here. Good morning. How are you, Scott?
I'm fantabulous. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So good to be here. Some good times we're having here. Hopefully we overcome all this rain. I know up north we've had a lot of rain too, so it's just been devastating around. So glad to take some calls and go over a few options for some customers.
Well, Kevin, what are you seeing? I mean, when this much rain comes for this long, I mean, we've been doing this since early spring. You know, we get a little dry, a little warm, a little wet, a lot of wet, a little dry, you know. Wow. I mean, you have so many different services that you offer. Is, you know, what's the mix? How many different services are you dealing with when the rain just falls out of the sky like this?
Well, I mean, the ground isn't fully saturated all the way down right now in a lot of areas. So we're seeing a lot of cracks that are leaking a little higher than normal. And in some instances, when we get these long rains, we'll get some hydrostatic pressure. But mostly we're seeing a lot of cracks leaking right now in the foundations.
Hey, can you speak to how a crack gets filled? I think that's pretty clever on, you know, how the, you know, I mean, you've got a crack and it, you know, gets some dirt in it, how you clean it and prep it. I mean, you guys do some, man, you pull the rabbit out of the hat a few times here.
Can you speak? So when the crack is leaking, first of all, we'll do an assessment, find out why you have the crack there. We want to find that out first. And then if we do a polyurethane foam injection on that, then that seals the crack up. But we really want to back that up with some carbon fiber. We use a structural grade multi-directional carbon fiber to really help secure that wall and bond it back together. So it's actually carbon bonding. So that puts that tension back to the wall and really keeps that crack from any further movement.
So let me get this right. You're putting a bulletproof vest on the face of the foundation.
You got it. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. So, you know, because the foundation is very porous. It's going to expand and contract a little bit. It's going to take a little bit of movement. So that carbon bonding process really keeps that together and still allows the foundation to naturally expand and contract and do some movement as needed.
Wow. Wow. Carbon fiber. Wow. The shape of things to come, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's and it is a good process. We use it on multiple applications. So it's not just for cracks. There are multiple applications mm-hmm. for that. Just any kind of other structural repairs as well.
Wow. Wow. Well, may the world be interesting that we live in, huh?
It is. I would like to say that, you know, here lately, it's really good times at Helitech. For the past year or so, our development team has really been working hard with the engineers and developing some products specific to our area that we have just wrapped up and still doing more product development. And they're being processed and developed and manufactured right here locally in our area. So they are specific to our area. So I'd like to put that out and let people know that these products are being developed and engineered and manufactured right here locally. So,
well, you've been doing that for some time. You know, the Hydroway, wasn't that developed and invented and, you know, under your umbrella solely now in the Midwest?
It is. It is. So, you know, the Hydroway, actually, I've been seeing some engineers now prefer to use the Hydroway, especially for hydrostatic pressure, because it does go in under the floor slab where the soil pressure is building up from the water, and we relieve that. So the engineers love it. It has the highest flow rate, intake rate, and it can deliver the water. It's right about 4 gallons per foot, and it'll handle that in right about 6.5 to 7 seconds. So, and there's nothing like it on the market. So if you're having hydrostatic pressure issues, really the Hydroway, getting it down into the soils is the best option.
Well, let's get this right here. If you're listening to my voice, you have hydrostatic pressure. Isn't that a fair shot?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there's a lot of it. So some areas are prone to more hydrostatic pressure than others. But nonetheless, when that water comes in, you got to deliver it to an external source so to get it out of the basement.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I get so many questions of, you know, well, you know, I've got a leaking basement. You know, this guy wants to dig it up from the outside and tear out all my landscaping. And it's like, well, I got to tell you, that's not necessarily the first choice of pretty much anyway. And most of the experts want to, you know, if you know where the water's coming, let's just go get it and take care of it instead of trying to stop Mother Nature. It's like, good luck with that.
Yeah, you know, taking care of the symptoms is always a good start. There's nothing wrong with that. Getting the water away from the home is always a great option. But to really get into excavation, digging around the foundation, it's very disruptive to the home. And believe it or not, it's very costly. But we warranty where the water comes in the home, and that's inside the basement. So if you want the best warranty out there, we have it.
Yeah, people say, well, I don't want him in my house making a mess. It's like, well, you know, if you pick the guy that goes on the outside, you're going to really regret that one.
Yeah, and there are methods, and they can be effective, but, you know, you got to remember that soil breaks things down. Water is very evil. It destroys everything in its path, and eventually we'll break that down outside. So, you know, you got to be real careful when you're looking at outside solutions.
Yeah, nature's natural solvent is what water is known as.
Yes, it is. Yes,
hey, will you
is.
Stick by? Will you hang with us a little bit, Kevin, and stand by?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Kevin Estes of Helitech got him chained to the phone anyway today. We're still in the not much going on in the studio thing. So anyway, he's there. I'm here. And we're both with you at your service right here on University of KMWX. Bring it on. We've got the water wizard here in our pocket. So 314-436-7900. Toll free 800-925-1120. Kevin Estes, Helitech, Scott Mosby standing by. Bring it on, folks. We're ready for your calls right now on KMWX.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Okay, reminder on the 10 steps to a successful kitchen remodel, a webinar coming up July 21st, your opportunity. It's 11:30 in the morning, but you can replay those if you sign up. Sign up at callmosby.com. That's C-A-L-L-M-O-S-B, like telephone call, callmosby.com, or mosbybuildingarts.com. Go to seminars and then sign up where it says register here. Also coming up next month in August, all about siding, windows, and roofing. Following that, the following month, 10 steps to a good bathroom remodel, and then accessible design. More this morning, I'm going to talk about some of the ways to get a good front entry, things to think about in that. Accessibility, zero clearance. You think about the showers, the curbless showers, where you can wheel right in and out or walk right in and out. At any age, that matters, because when I've got soap in my eyes, I really want grab bars, and I want stuff that keeps me from falling. And if I'm falling, I need a real grab bar to grab onto, not a glass shower door. 314-436-7900 puts us together here on KMOX, 800-925-1120. In the wings, I've got Kevin Estes of Helitech. He's going to stick with us for a few more minutes. Let's get and talk with my buddy Ron. Hey, Ron, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can we help you this morning, brother?
Okay, I've got a five-room bungalow home in South City with a cement foundation. About 15 years, 20 years ago, a crack developed running from one side of the foundation across the floor up the other side. Mm. Now, I've had a waterproofing company come out. They installed a dehumidifier. I had water running in from one side of the cut foundation into the sewer in the basement. I built the soil up on the outside, which prevented that. I'm concerned about structural stability. Any suggestions?
Good question to ask. Hey, Kevin, can you help us out here?
Yeah, Ron. You know, there could be some structural problems that you're having there. It just really depends. When they waterproofed, did they mention anything, how the floor looked, or was the waterproofing done in the area that you're seeing some leaking in?
They did no waterproofing, except they covered up the crack on one side of the basement with a metal shield, and I filled in the dirt on the outside to prevent the water from running in.
Yeah, some movement to the home could have caused that floor to crack that way, and it's best to get an assessment, and we'll come out, the no charge to come out and do a structural assessment on that, and we'll just set transits up, take measurements of the home, find out if we have some movement that may have caused that, and address that and offer you the right solution for that.
I'd appreciate that. Can I do that right now?
You can go online to helitechonline.com, and you can schedule an appointment right online, or you can call our number.
Please.
And it's 800-246-9721.
And that's Helitech.
At Helitech, yes, sir.
Okay, will do. Thank
you. We'll be glad to come out, and you can schedule that right online if you'd like, or you can schedule one of our ladies in the office.
All right, will do. Are they available today?
Not today. We've been pretty overwhelmed with a lot of rain lately, but we will get out as soon as possible, and one of the estimators will give you a call as well if you need to move up and get over as soon as possible as well.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you for
the
information.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Kevin, is the phone staffed today?
No, they're probably gone by now. They do work Saturday mornings just to take some phone calls, especially if it's raining a lot. They'll work a full day, but you can always leave a message. They'll get back with customers right away on Monday morning.
Kevin, can you describe a little bit for me how you, and the technology is kind of what's behind this, how you assess, you know, structural movement in a foundation? Frankly, I think you should sell tickets. I think it's a really cool process to watch, frankly.
Yeah, so we have guidelines. So, you know, I'm not an engineer, so when I come out, we have to put up a transit. So that'll shoot a laser around the perimeter, give me a level line to measure the building off of, whether it's inside the basement or outside off of the brick or even the first level of the home. We'll take some factual data according to what the transit readings come out, and we'll find exactly where the home has moved. Once we have that, we'll calculate the load of the home, whether it be a ranch, a framed home, or a full masonry home. And if it needs piers, then the spacing according to the load will be implied with the engineers that we use to stamp off on all projects. Or maybe some lateral movement, or it could just be some water pressure. I have a lot of center columns can heave and lift the building and really give you a wrong impression that the home is settled when actually the interior of the home is lifting.
Boy, that was an education for me many years ago when, you know, I'm doing footings and the guy said, no, your footing's too big. And I said, well, how can you make a footing too big? And he says, it needs to be the same size as the rest of the house. And it's like, well, really?
Yeah.
And then we got into expansive soils, and, you know, if it's going to, oh, my gosh, took me to school. And one of the lessons I learned from one of our building inspectors. So, wow, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, it's a lot of training involved. We're just not going to send somebody that doesn't know what they're doing out to your home. So we're definitely going to have good training, ongoing training. And we also have engineers on our staffing that, like I said earlier, help develop products and the loads, and we do load testing at our facility. So, yeah, right here locally.
Do you have kind of a nutty professor, you know, these egghead guys that are just way too smart for their own good? You have locked in a room and they, you know, do these research and development things? Or do you let them out every now and again?
No, they get out and about, but, you know, we have our campus over there. We staff some of the best engineers, structural, civil engineers. And, you know, Sam, he's really a smart one of our engineers, Sam. Excellent engineer. He just puts his brain to work on everything.
You know, well, we live in an interesting soils environment. I would think there's a lot of stuff you guys know about what's going on in this part of the country.
You know, and it's a good point you bring up, Scott, because I run across so many areas where, you know, either previous contractors that most of them aren't in business anymore have put things in, not knowing what the soils are doing. You really have to know the soils for each area you're in. That's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. More support doesn't always make the best thing. The whole, you know, that blew my mind years ago. It's been probably 50 years when I learned that, but the concept of having everything the same size, and you guys coming in after the fact, after this thing's built, you really have to know what you're dealing with just to, you know, size what you're doing. And anyway, my hat's off to you, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for stopping by. I'm going to let you go here. I imagine you've got either some water to tread or wade through with some of our customers here listening on KMOX.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Again, give us a call, 800-246-9721, and we'll be glad to come out and take care of you.
Right on. Hey, thanks. Kevin Estes, Helitech, 800-246-9720. Thanks for stopping by on the phone here, Mr. Kev.
Thank you, Scott. Have a good weekend.
Right on. Bye now. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Phone lines for you, 314-436-7900, 436-7900, 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. I've attended some of those Helitech training classes where they actually have internal training for their reps, and it was kind of interesting. So I sat in on some of those over the years. It's kind of a neat school. I mean, some of the things that go on underneath the ground and how simply complex they can become. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Come on, bring it on here, folks. I'm sitting here in a room by myself at 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. We'll get some phone calls going here, or I'm going to start singing right here on University of KMOX.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, indeed. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. A few more minutes, top of the hour. Let's talk with my friend Connie. Hey, Connie, good morning. How can I help on KMOX?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Fantabulous.
Good.
What can I do for you?
Okay, I have a basement, and I have effervescence on the concrete down there and also sometimes in my garage floor.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if I paint that with a basement gray paint, will that come back?
Well, you have to remove it. Yes, it will, and no, it won't. Here's part of what happens. The efflorescence is coming from underneath the concrete, so it will rise. What's happening is it's bringing the salts and the lime, kind of that dust, and it's carrying it through the concrete when the water is trying to escape or dry. So water moves from high concentration to low, so it's just drying out, just like hanging a towel on the line or a shirt on the line. The moisture is high concentration, so it's trying to dry out. If you put paint on top of that, it is a moisture or water barrier. It will slow down and stop that migration, so it will slow down the movement of the water. The water won't get out, it will build up, and sooner or later that pressure will grow and just push the paint right back off the floor. So you've got to deal with that moisture before you put that coating. Yeah, you're not going to. Now, if you could put a coating on the underside of the concrete to where that pressure slams that barrier up into the concrete, that might be effective. And that's why we put plastic or, you know, polyethylene 6 mil plastic underneath the floor, because that water pressure, you know, pushes that membrane up against and it just can't get through there.
So okay, what can I do about it, though? Is it a really bad problem, or what can I do with that?
Well, not really. All it is, think of that concrete floor as just the epidermis, the skin on your body, and, you know, the moisture moves out of us, so the moisture's moving right through that concrete. Frankly, you've got to deal with that moisture. Either leave it alone and clean it up and just keep it as an aesthetic issue. It's not a structural problem. It's just more moisture. Or collect it with a Helitech and, you know, use something. You know, you've got to get that moisture and water is going to get out somehow.
Gotcha.
Whether it comes through with efflorescence or around the edges in a really high concentration with water pressure. But, you know, long and the short of it is somehow there's a breach in that moisture membrane, if there is. How old is your house, Connie?
It was built in 66. I'm in St. Charles.
Wow, you're right at the point where they were just starting to put those plastic water vapors under the moisture barriers under the concrete. So I'll bet you don't have it.
You're
about 10 years. Yeah, you're about 10 years too soon. So
I'll be darned. Wow.
Yeah, I would live with it and clean it up. Because if you try to fool Mother Nature, she's going to jump up and, you know, turn into a serpent and bite you.
Right. Maybe with vinegar water, maybe? Vinegar water kind of help that?
Perfect. Perfect.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Sure.
My basement is so sectioned off. I've been here 5.5 years, and they had 2 bedrooms downstairs, which with kids sleeping down there at one time years ago, and that should have never happened because there's no windows in those rooms. But
that's okay. They're just, so what if they die?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, how hard would that be to take them walls out and just have it a real basement instead of having all that wall down there? You know, my basement's a damp basement, and I'm thinking maybe it could breathe better. We have a dehumidifier in one part of it. It's a walkout basement, and it's real dry there. But back in the other rooms, it just seems damp back there.
Yeah, you know what? What is the roof shape? This gets into how to remove a load or identify a load-bearing wall. Generally, the front and back wall of your house will be load-bearing, and the center, wherever the beam is, which is generally right down the middle, those 3 points are load-bearing. Does your roof have a gable where it's just a triangle on the ends?
The gable's in the front.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say.
Is there a gable like that in the back?
No, it's straight across in the back.
Okay. I would guess, do you have gables on the left and the right, too?
Yes, yes. So get left and the right, and then one in the front over the porch.
Yeah, I think the one in the front over the porch is kind of gingerbread, and I would imagine, you know, without seeing it, and I would, you know, before you start pulling walls out, I'd get somebody out.
Yeah.
Frankly, Helitech, you know, they've got to do a structural assessment. They kind of know where the beam is and where the posts are. You've got a little bit of moisture problem going on. I think, I think I'd buy them a cup of coffee and see if they can come by and they can help you with this. But generally, I'm going to say that the front and back wall of your house are load-bearing, and wherever there are posts and columns and a beam, and you'll be able to see that in some of the unfinished parts of the basement, and you can just kind of connect a line, and really just removing that ceiling first will tell you where that beam is. But you betcha taking those walls. Yeah, the less building materials you have in wall form down in a basement that wasn't built that way, like in the 60s, it wasn't made to be a finished area, you bet
right.
That'll dry it. It'll dry it
out
for sure.
I just been thinking about that, and I thought, well, who in the heck could I call to come over that I could trust to look at this for me and help me here, you know, to figure out what I can do here?
Well, I know Helotech will do it because of the moisture. You know, again, I'd feel this is something our company can do, but because of the moisture, I'd feel more comfortable having Helotech come out and look at it because they can, you know,
okay.
It's like, well, here's your moisture thing, and oh, by the way, this is where your beam is, and, well, you know, so I think that's the place to start. Yep.
Well, who do I call? You guys?
I'd call Helotech, 800-246-9721, see if Kevin Estes and his buddies can come out.
Helotech sounds really good. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. See you, Connie. Bye. Home Improvement, KMOX, Scott Mosby.
Welcome to the Helotech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair, celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, hour two, top of the hour, lunchtime, bean time. Put a few shrimp on the Barbie, strap on the old feed bag. Let's get to it here and have some lunch. I know it's beautiful weather and a wonderful time to be outdoors. I get it. This is maybe a little sticky, a little bit humid. Oh, man, check this out, though. Middle of the country, you know, middle of the comfort range. I'm buying it, you know. Hey, you know, it's St. Louis. Scott Mosby here one more hour. Thank you to Kevin Estes of Helotech joining us during hour one. The weather, the trees, the winds, the blowing, the power lines, all that stuff. Helotech still out on the street doing their thing, trying to make your house dry, healthy, and secure. So thank you to Kevin for coming in hour one. Phone lines here. We've got one full hour. This is all you. Mano a mano, 314-436-7900, 436-7900. That puts you right into this St. Louis downtown studio of KMOX. And then likewise, toll-free 800-925-1120. I own Mosby Building Arts. We were founded in 1947 by my father, Sam Mosby. The values, the practices, and the relentless drive for quality and performance, even to what services we offer within the company. We have our own operational software that we actually wrote the software because it was important to record what promises we had made, because people generally expect us to show up on time and on the right day, things like that. And then once we start communicating amongst one another, when you start putting together the various people and expertise packages that come with their training and the experience of, you know, all the licensed architects, licensed designers, licensed tradespeople, all the stuff it takes to get the job done, you know, it just, it matters. So my point being, there are business practices, investments, and values that continue with my father, because the basis of all of this is make a clean promise and then keep it. So basically, be able to tell the story about what you're proposing to do and why, explain what and why, and be full disclosure, say what we don't know. What we don't know is this, this, and this. What we do know is this, this, and this. And you and I go through these processes. So many times people call, they've got a leak around the roof or foundation or whatever, and they've done 1, 2, and 3. And they should have done 1, 2, and 3. So that process of elimination on some of these problem-solving things, you know, it is what it is, and it's kind of why I'm on KMOX, because that's part of my father's original tenet of make a clean promise and then keep it. So being able to tell the story, tell the why, explain how it ties in, what the risks and benefits are of each step, because frankly, you know, we are not divine. We know a lot of stuff. We have a lot of experience, and we're going to go at it with that experience. The advantage is we've got a lot of experience and a lot of people. So together, when you roll us all up, whoo, you know, organizationally, we're really hard to beat, because we have a lot of people that know a lot of stuff about a lot of things. And, you know, if one of us doesn't, or we think we don't know, you know, golly, we've got a ton of colleagues, folks that are right there. So the advantage of us is design build. I love that. It was my dad's basic tenet is, you know what, if you've got the architect on one side and the builder on the other side, if they're feet are not in the same boots, if they're not just religiously connected in the mission, then you wind up with a gunfight between the builder said this and the architect did this and this guy designed it, so I built it the way it was designed. Homeowner sitting in the middle not knowing what's going on. It's like, well, I keep paying the bills. This should come out. I don't care who's wrong, but, you know, it's got to be right. Well, that's kind of the basis of it. So with Mosby Building Arts, consumers shift that risk to us. We like to have that risk shift to us because we then can control the process. We are fully accountable for that process, and we have to stand up and deliver to that. But with our level of experience, knowledge, training, people, all that stuff, that's why we do what we do and how we wind up here on CAMOX. And, you know, anyway, let's, you know, enough of this talking stuff. Let's quiet down this windbag. Get on and see what's happening with my buddy Gene. Hey, Gene, good afternoon. Welcome to lunchtime on CAMOX. How can I help you this afternoon?
Okay, thank you. We have a deck that is covered with, like, an extension of the roof. Uh-huh. And we want to screen it in. And my question is, how will the person who's going to do this handle the flooring? Because it's 2x4s that were put tightly together, but they've shrunk a little bit over time.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of things done. Typically, the rain that keeps coming through, it's nice when those boards actually shrink because it lets the rain drain through and it releases the moisture between those boards, Gene. So that keeps those boards from rotting a little bit, even whether you stain them or paint them or whatever. So I like that joint in there. It's a little inconvenient for bugs. You can put a screen on the underside of the floor joist. What that means is the dust that comes through and all of that gets trapped there as well. I've seen poor choices of this, of caulking the bottom side, trying to keep the bugs out. My advice, frankly, is don't worry about it. Basically, there are so few bugs that come in from the bottom because it's generally flying insects. You're going to get the crawlies and the creepy crawlies anyway. So I would focus really on just the screen areas on the side. And unless that building, that floor was built impervious, you know, basically like a roof, you really can't, there's no real good way to do that. There is a roofing system called Underdeck, and it's a rain control that keeps the water from dripping down to the next lower, so, you know, below level. So your patio below, if you have one below that screen porch or porch, that can be water impervious too. That really slows down the bugs because they tend to not come back up in that area. But the floor is not your real threat for most of your bugs.
Oh, thank you. One other question, termites. We found a few runs in the basement, and a gentleman came out and treated that area of the basement wall and dug down and then put some kind of, I don't know what he did, but that he said that would be enough. Is that your opinion, or do you have an opinion?
Oh, I do. Termites, first off, in this part of the country, termites are everywhere. Termites need moisture. They need warm temperatures, and they need a food source. Well, this time of year, around the Midwestern St. Louis, and we've got wood structures because we've got nice forest oak trees, and, you know, I mean, we are a forested area. Termites are a fact of life. Personally, that area was treated, so you attacked where that problem was. There are bait stations that I particularly like, where you dig little holes around the perimeter of the house, and you basically invite them to come to dinner. So these little bait bait, basically, you just dig this little thing, you put a plastic thing in there, and you drop a piece of nice soft white wood that's kind of a dinner invitation for the termites. As soon as the termites find that, they then hone in onto it, and every month those guys, the termite guys, come back on these bait stations, and they pull that wood up. As long as the wood's in good shape, nobody came to dinner. But as soon as there's a hit, as they call it, or some termite activity eating up, or maybe that now white wood is gone, they drop down an insecticide and laden piece of wood, and the termites that are already trained to come to that take that back to the nest, and it winds up killing. So I like a bait station. It does not treat and prohibit termites. On the contrary, it tries to find where they are, invite them to dinner, and then send them back, you know, with a, you know, a nest killer thing in it. So I like, once you've got termites, and you know you do, I like these bait stations because they're, They're not throwing poison all over your house, you know, unless you need it. So, you can treat the whole house. But what if you don't need to? What if it's only over here by this old dead stump that, you know, somebody buried 40 years ago? So I'm kind of a fan of the bait station.
Can you do it yourself?
Yes, you can. They're available on the internet. You need to know what you're doing. And they do take a little bit of knowledge of where to put them. So it's kind of like $50 for turning the screw, you know, $5 for turning the screw and $45 for knowing which direction to turn and which screw to turn. So, you know, okay. The actual physical labor and discipline of going back to fix them is actually pretty simple. But frankly, like all do-it-yourself projects, it tends to get down to the bottom of the list. So I just, once I have a hit on a termite, it's like, all right, I know I've got guests. I think I want to know where they are. So.
Okay. One other, do you have time for another question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Earthquake. They just were talking about the lack of earthquake insurance in so many houses. When they built this house, when they put the posts into the basement, you know, that support the joists, they put huge, like, bolts around them on a plate. And they that in St. Clair County was the code for earthquake-proof. Well, I don't, nothing's earthquake-proof, but, you know, stabilizing. Yeah. Is that a good idea? And is there anything more we should do?
Supremely important because, for example, when we build a house, we would just put beam A next to beam B as long as it was supported by the post, we were good, and we needed either wrap some steel straps around. Actually, bolting them end to end is an excellent thing, or even better yet, there's a slip joint because that steel gets longer and shorter according to the temperature in that basement, and it does move. They slide back and forth over time. So there's a slip joint in there, but all those bolts and securing things, when you drive down the street and you see a new house being framed, you've got all these metal bands vertically and horizontally, that's all earthquake or seismic stuff. And I'm a big fan of earthquake insurance because it's like life insurance. You hope you don't ever win on the bet, but golly, not having that insured sure is some sleepless night, especially if you live in a masonry or stone house. They don't move much. Wood houses kind of breathe and expand and all that.
Yeah, and these go into the basement floor. I don't know if I explained that.
That's
they
perfect.
Don't go...
That's
okay,
perfect.
Okay.
Anything, as my father would say, screwed, blued, and tattooed.
Cute. Okay, one last thing, the vents in the soffitting. At one point, it seems like you said to close those off if you have our vents in the, I don't know what
gables.
It's called, the V part of the roof, because we have the soffitting with the ventilation. Is that still the opinion if you have vents in the roofing to close off those, what are they
gables.
Called in the
gable end vents?
Yes.
Close those off only if you're putting ridge vent up. So if you're letting the air out at the very top apex, so when you re-roof or you go back and you put ridge vent on, then you have a new high apex, the very top of the roof escape, so hot air rises, so up goes. Well, if you have those gable end vents, you're just inhaling from 4 feet underneath the gable vent, so you're super ventilating the top 4 feet of your attic, and not drawing through those bottom soffit vents. You see the concept behind that?
Well, we don't have the venterage. We just have the little round things that look like pancakes. They're
leave
not
those
round,
in.
They're square.
Leave those in. Leave your gable vents open. Until
open.
You put
okay.
a ridge vent up and you have continuous full ventilation at the top. And frankly, this is a great way to pick a company to install that ridge vent or roofer. If they don't tell you about that gable end vent and closing that, then they're just installing a part and not really designing the airflow of your attic.
Good
thought. You see what I mean?
Good thought. Yes, yes. Okay, well, thank you so much for all the consults on those. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, Gene.
Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Home Improvement. Scott Mosby got a little windy in first segment. We'll get to it right here after this. A little news from our weather, news from our sponsors here on KMOX.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
A little voice of the past, chatting with my producer, Alex. We're talking about Mike Shannon. When I remember Mike Shannon as a third baseman, second baseman was Julian Javier. You remember that? Bob Gibson on the mound. Woo-ah! We had some Cardinal baseball going on then. And the legacy lives on. Stay tuned this afternoon. We've got cards coming up here. I think we've got about 5:20, the Cardinal baseball pregame show today right here on KMOX. So stay tuned. Lots happening. Let's get right to and talk to my buddy Cliff. Hey, Cliff, Scott Mosby. Good afternoon. Oh, wait a minute. I lost Cliff. Okay, let's go to Brad. Hey, Brad, how you doing this afternoon? How can I help you?
Pretty good, Scott. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, real quick, I've got a couple of questions if you got time. Sorry if I'm out of breath. I'm moving a table in my house. So, anyway.
No rest for the weary, brother.
Yeah, no, yeah. So, here's the situation. My first question is, we need new windows in our house. Yeah. Now, our house was built in 88, and we've moved, I'm actually in the Chicagoland area, mm-hmm. but grew up in the St. Louis area. Okay. Not that that matters, but anyway, I'll get to the point. So, I'm looking for fiberglass windows. Yeah. What I'm finding is Marvin, mm-hmm. those fiberglass windows, and they're very nice. And as we all know, windows can be very expensive. Yeah. My question to you is, do you know of any brands or any companies that maybe not as well known, and you get more bang for your buck if they're fiberglass or any other material?
Well, I'll tell you what, I became aware of fiberglass when they started putting fiberglass on the bottom of the Pella window sills. They started billing. I was on a Pella customer thing. So they have wood windows, and then they'll clad them up on the sash. But they actually started making the sill out of a fiberglass or artificial material, because when water comes in, it sits on the sill. The sill rots, and that's where windows die first. So I thought that was pretty clever. And then Marvin came out with their fiberglass windows. I thought that was pretty slick. Those are very good windows. They're pricey. Fiberglass is not an inexpensive material, really, to build with. So, you just kind of have to be aware of that. Sure. I do like fiberglass. Most window lines have some version of a fiberglass or an artificial kind of material. So they're more out there than just the Marvin. But if I had to pick one, I do like fiberglass. I like the vinyl, but the vinyl moves so much. Fiberglass is vinyl with a whole bunch of fibers inside for strength, kind of like concrete fiber reinforcing.
Sure, sure. And you're right. I was finding that with Anderson, they have their Fibrex. And and so far, everything's kind of leading me towards Marvin. And they do look nice. And I've seen them in showrooms and everything. It's just fiberglass holds up to the elements. And you know how it is in the Midwest. You got hot summers and cold winters.
Oh, man.
So, and we've had a house with vinyl windows. And I swear I'll never do that again or never put in vinyl just because they move so much. And, not that they're all bad. We had Build-A-Grade. They were pretty cheap in our old house. So I don't want to go back to that I prefer as much fiberglass, at least on the outside, like you said, cladded with either fiberglass or aluminum or whatever. But so would you would recommend that Marvin would be a good one. And I don't know if if there's any others out there that do it, but
yeah, I forget the name. We do windows. We do quite a few of fiberglass. Okay. Understand this, though. A fiberglass window is kind of a vinyl window on steroids. For example, when you've got a vinyl sash, basically you can bend that vinyl. So lifting up in the middle of a double-hung window, trying to lift it, you'll bow that bottom sash. So the better when vinyl manufacturers put a reinforcing metal piece in there. So true with the fiberglass for the same reason. It's a stronger material, but it will distort under load just like vinyl will. So be aware that they're kind of similar ducts, only one has a little more reinforcement in it than the other.
Gotcha.
So again, it's kind of like, you know, do you want a Mercedes or do you want a BMW? It's like, well, who cares? Those are perform. Now we're getting down to splitting hairs. It's like they're both fantastic vehicles, you know. So, I mean, when you get into the upper end of these window manufacturers, you know, there's really not a bad choice. We do choose windows by brand, by Marvin and Pella, vinyl windows that we handle according to the look we're after, too. So be aware, Gene, there is, you know, a vinyl window is kind of a wide profile window. So there's a lot of sash, less glass. Your Pellas are a little thinner on the sash lines and the thickness, more glass, you know. But the more sash you have, the more strength you have. The less sash you have, the more movement and less strength you have on the, you know, all that. So, you know, be careful what you ask for. You're going to get it.
For sure. For sure. Okay. So it's kind of one of those things you get what you pay for. So I gotcha.
And not all of them are the same. So, I mean, you know, it's like, well, okay, well, BMW drives different than a Mercedes. It's like, well, do you want a cushy, comfy ride? Do you want a driving experience? You know, all that stuff that comes with car. So I use the brand because we generally relate with car brands better than we do window brands.
Sure. Yeah, I've been just doing a lot of research, and everything's kind of, for what I'm looking for, is kind of leading me back to or towards Marvin, and nothing, that's a good thing. It's just, man, if you know, if nobody's done this before, they're expensive. Our windows in general just can be expensive, and I get it. I get why, you know, there's a lot that goes into making them and, you know, putting them in, all that kind of stuff, depending on how, what route you go. So, but anyway, okay, well, that, thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. And I don't know if I have time, but I have another question. If I'm going too long, cut me off.
No, go ahead. And by the way, I like Marvin Windows. You're not going to go wrong. You're just going to pay a lot for it, and that's all. And that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, because I don't want to put windows in again. But anyway, so we have a deck that is just made of wood, and I want to go to composite. And my wife says we can keep the deck for another while. I'd love to rip it out. Composite's nice. Again, it's expensive with composite boards or whatnot. Here's a question that I have for you, but I've also thought about doing paver patio instead of doing a deck. I think decks are a little bit more expensive from what I've been finding. But from what I hear, too, with a paver patio versus a deck, you don't have to get a permit or an approval. And with a deck, you do. Is that correct? Or depending on, maybe I'm leaving out details, because really all I would do is maybe rip off the top boards and replace those. But I'm also looking at paver patio. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, a paver patio does have maintenance with it, because the sand that goes between the pavers, sooner or later the bird droppings and the seeds, so you power wash it, and you have to resand it about every 3 or 4 years, so there is maintenance with it. That being said, I prefer pavers over wood. I don't have to strip them. I don't have to stain them. They don't rot. A paver patio, I have a big paver driveway, and I've loved it since it was a premium, by far a premium. I do the whole light you're going through. Decks generally are a structural, erected, permitted issue that needs plans and permit and inspections, whereas a deck is generally an extension of the grass, considered a landscape. Now, so the answer is yes, decks need permit. No, paver patios don't. Now, here comes the caveat. There's always a but. Here comes the but. In some of the neighborhoods, the close-in areas that are exploding in popularity, Kirkwood, Warson Woods, Glendale, Webster, all those areas where property prices are going up twice as fast as the rest of the place, that's density. So they're building the McMansions, then they're putting big patios on impervious surface penetration. When the rain falls out of the sky, Mother Nature invented grass and turf to absorb it. When you and I put a driveway, whether asphalt, concrete, pavers, that's considered impervious surface. It goes straight to run out, becomes an MSD problem right away, and that's where flash floods come from, and where all these neighborhood infill, you know, don't tear down my backyard, leave it alone. So unless you're getting a real big patio, or most of your property is already covered with a driveway and patio and roof, you're okay putting in a patio. But check with your local municipality, of which there's something like 90 just in St. Louis County. Check with them on impervious surface improvements.
Okay. Okay, and that was the route that you'd want to go, something that's impervious, or just checking with them just to see what they have to say about it.
Yeah, right. I mean, because here's the deal. We went to put on a very tiny addition, just extending a closet out in Creve Coeur, come to find out that additional 160 square feet was beyond the impervious surface calculation for Creve Coeur. So this little tiny room addition, because somebody had put in a patio without a permit previously, their house was already in violation, and, you know, the city's like, no, we're not making neighbor problems for that, you know, so.
For sure.
Yeah. Measure twice, okay. Cut once.
Yeah. Yep. That's for sure. Okay. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. That's pretty much all I had. Thank you.
Yeah, and you're welcome to call our company about windows and all it. You know, okay. I mean, we'll take you through the whole thing. You may choose, you may not choose, but I will say that, you know, you're in the end of performance windows, and it'll be a lot, and you'll get a lot.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate the time.
All right.
Have a good one. All right, bye.
Thank you. Wowzer, man, between Gene and Brad, we've covered probably 8 out of 10 possible comments here. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Anyway, stay tuned for more. We've got lots coming up. Cardinals Baseball 520, 1 o'clock coming right up after this show. Retire Ready right here on KMOX. And keep in mind, you can take me with you. Odyssey, AUDACY.com. Odyssey, it's an app. Go to the App Store and, you know, download that puppy, and then just do a search on KMOX. It'll go in there, and then you can get into the various shows. And my show is actually called the Helitech Home Improvement Show, and I'm kind of the subtext down in there. So somewhere way down in there, you'll find Scott Mosby in there. So I know just where I fall on the food chain right there. I'm somewhere down right above, runoff guy with the rain cleaning the streets. So 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Scott Mosby at your service. One of my favorite things to do every week right here on KMOX.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Oh, yeah, I know you're outside working and all that. I want to speak a little bit to impervious surface, remodeling density, adding onto your house, all the things that we at Mosby Building Arts deal with every day, and why we are a design-build company, so we can have these conversations like, yeah, I know what you're trying to do. That's a great idea. Here, may I make a suggestion? And, oh, by the way, the city may frown upon this. And especially with all this rain that's happening, where we've got runoff, surface water runoff, and then that's different than a saturated soil situation that Kevin Estes from Helitech talks about, where the soil down below the ground is just saturated and it won't take any more water. Kevin reports we're not quite there yet. But keep in mind that with this much water, and when we get these deluges, these big thunderstorms where water comes fast and hard, it goes into surface water runoff. And if you have built a house that covers an enormous part or high percentage of that lot, then the soil does not have the opportunity to absorb the water. So where normal turf grass will just take rain, and until it gets an enormous and over area or over quantity, it doesn't start runoff. It drinks the water and uses it for the roots for the trees and the grass and all the plants and such. Well, if you put concrete, asphalt, a roof, sometimes a deck, anything that won't absorb the soil, in builder lingo, in zoning requirements, it's called an impervious surface. And for example, for those of you that have been to the botanical garden, there's a parking lot section that has grass growing through what appears to be kind of a cored concrete block. That is a semi-permeable impervious surface, which allows the water to pass through that to a high degree, more so than asphalt, concrete, or any kind of a paver situation. All three of those considered impervious. Well, a semi-pervious, and you'll see these blocks around grass areas of driveways on commercial buildings for the fire trucks to be able to drive around a building if there's a fire or an occurrence and it's real wet or whatever, it still will take the weight of that fire truck. So semi-pervious, all that. But for those of you that have too much water in your yard because of development or additional infill houses generally, these are hot buttons and things that are actively managed by responsible designers and contractors because, you know, the concept in the law, and I'm not an attorney, but the concept in the law is anything I build on my lot really doesn't have the right to make somebody else's life or lot worse. So if I've got a lot that's all grass and I cover it with a whole bunch of pavement impervious surfaces, I have now run and transferred what used to be not a problem to the neighbors who now have a ton of problem. So that's where I get to the whole impervious surface thing. I do like a patio or deck, anything down in that area. If there, you're coming down steps out of the house to get to that, whereas a wood deck or a composite deck can be built up at that level. But if you can build it up with a retaining wall, say you've got an 18-inch tall or 16, something like that, you know, concrete is just a lot less maintenance than wood, composite, Ipe, Palope, any of those, even, you know, non-rotting woods. And for those of you looking into composite decking, there is an option, and these are South American hardwoods that, and they're marketed under the name of Ipe, I-P-E, with a little apostrophe, the schwa. One of the things is diamond decking. Some of them are teak. The point being is those woods are so heavy, they sink in water because of their density. They're so dense, a termite jaw can't eat them, so they're impervious to termites. And they basically don't rot because they don't soak up wood either. So there's another option to wood, composite wood, and then some of these expensive, and they look like mahogany, and they perform like mahogany, and they are hard like steel. So if you ever hear a carpenter cutting a piece of cedar, and then cutting a piece of composite, and then cutting one of these South American hardwoods, it's like cutting steel. The pitch of that power blade is very high, very piercing, very annoying to the neighbors, I will say that, and requires carbide-tipped blades because a regular saw blade will burn up trying to cut one of those hard lumbers. So anyway, next up, let's see what's cooking here. Let's go back to my buddy Cliff. Hey, Cliff, thanks for your patience, brother. How can I help here?
Sure, thanks for taking my call. We've got a ranch-style all-brick house built in 56. We had issues with the fireplace, the chimney, where the brick fascia, a glaze, was starting to pop, and we had to have that replaced. So I'm concerned about the rest of the house. I've heard that, you know, you can seal brick with, like, a water seal, but then I've heard also that you probably should not seal it. So what's your recommendation on that?
The Masonry Institute recommends that you do not seal brick. That is because they want it to breathe. They want that moisture behind and in the brick, which inevitably happens. They want it to be able to escape. So that limits the consequences of wet brick. From the maintenance standpoint, you get to a brick or a tuck pointer. They like to seal the brick because the less water the brick absorbs, the less spalling, deterioration, expansion. Those bricks actually swell when they get wet and they grind the tuck pointing out from in between the bricks. So personally, I am in favor of sealing brick, but you need to know what you're doing, and you need to give it a really good bath before you do it, because if you use one of these whiz-bang high, you know, performance-based sealers, you know, it's kind of like putting deodorant without taking a shower. You're trapping in a bunch of dirt and stuff. It's just not the right. If you're going to do it right, clean it up, prepare the surface, let it dry, and then hit it with an effective sealer.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for the call, Cliff, and I am a fan of sealing, and don't mistake, if anybody's out there listening with a brick chimney leak, do not mistake sealing the face of the brick from addressing the chimney cap or the cement cap at the very top of that brick. Those are almost two separate issues. So, Cliff, thanks for the call. Good topic. Take care. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. We're going to take a short break and be right back.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Okay, as promised, a couple of IOUs from me to you. Number one, the black light virus light. It is basically a light that mounts in your return air of your forced air furnace system. Personally, I have that installed on my forced air furnace. I leave the blower motor on all the time. Any virus or whatever that goes by there gets killed. It's like the sun shining inside your ductwork. And, you know, these viruses don't do well under ultraviolet light. So just be aware that product is out there. It's a little pricey. They're in high demand. It looks like just a black light from back when. So it's pretty low tech, high effective. Than that, also for my friend Cliff that called in about brick sealer, one of our pros that called in actually did the sealer on the St. Louis City Hall, advises a Siloxane product, Siloxane Prosico. It's a brand. I've seen it pronounced as Prosico, but it's Prosico. And it's a siloxane. So there are higher performance formulations of these sealers now than there used to be. Let's see what's cooking with my buddy Chris. Hey, Chris, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help? Yeah.
Hi.
I've got about a minute.
Okay, I've got an insulated metal door that is starting to rust at the bottom. I'm having a really hard time opening the door. My question is it the door that needs to be replaced, or is it my concrete on the patio, on the front stoop?
It's probably the frame, because what happens is if you have a metal door and it starts rusting, that means water's there, and water sits at the bottom of the door. Well, when water sits on the metal, metal rusts, but wood, and the frame of the door is wood. So even if it's clad with metal, it will start to rot. And once the door jams, this time of year anyway, it's usually from the wood frame squeezing from the two sides. And in the winter time, when the concrete freezes, that concrete porch lifts up. So understand. So right, basically you're heading toward a new door. Either way, you need the door changed and the frame, and need it properly flashed at installation.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much.
Good question. Thanks, Chris. Take care. Home Improvement, Scott. We have had an hour two that is banner. This is awesome. Fantastic second hour. God bless you all. Thank you. And always stay safe. You know, keep your head down, watch your top knot, as they say in the woods. See you later.